Let's pray.
Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you love us. Lord, and everything begins with that love. Lord, that you pour your love out on us through your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, that I pray that you would meet us here right now, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, unveil the Lord Jesus Christ to our hearts. Lord, we see words in these, in the scriptures, Lord, that like your disciples in many times, we don't understand. So, Lord, we need you to breathe life into your word. Lord, we don't want dead doctrine. We don't want a pharisaical heart. And that's only can be done through a miracle of you moving. So we ask that you would do that and meet us here today. That you would touch us, Lord, and be our strength. Lord, we don't want to be strengthened. We want you to be our strength. So, Lord, that we would learn to rest fully and completely in your grace. And we just thank you for that opportunity that you have been for us in Jesus' name. So today, last week, I made a statement that said I didn't have any light in Jesus talking about to go sell things and get a sword. So today, I'm here to tell you I don't really have any more light on it, but I'm going to share about it. I want to read verses Luke. Somebody wants to read 22 verses 35 to 38. We're going to discuss it. Hopefully, it won't be as long as last week. But I just have a couple of things I'd like to bring out, just to discuss. So, Luke 22:35 to 38. Anyone want to read? 35, yes.
And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bags, knapsacks, and sandals, you did not lack anything." So they said, "Nothing. When I sent you out with money bags." Then he said to them, "But now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Look, Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough."
So I know that last week some of us brought up some verses, and I want to talk about this because if we look at this in the plain reading, he's telling them to go buy swords, right? This would be it's not like a broadsword that he's talking about when you look at the term. It's a sword that would be like a, maybe, not pocket knife, it's a little dagger. Many of the zealots like to use them to sneak up behind Roman soldiers that they could just slide them out, stab them in the kidneys, put them back in their robe, walk away, Roman soldier die, no one knew what happened. So it's kind of a very concealed weapon. If you take that in the reading and we start to say, is Jesus telling us to do everything we have to go out and buy what we need to protect ourselves? Or is he getting wanting his body to be armed for a fight? I don't see that anywhere in Scripture, anywhere else, to try to bring that in and encapsulate that with just this one statement that we might not quite understand. So I wanted to just share some verses because this goes against everything in my natural being. When it talks about protection, because he is our protector. He is the only one we can trust and rely on. So I wanted to read some things. If you want to turn to Matthew 10:34. very fine if everybody has a different take on this, but I'm just sharing you what I believe the Lord's given me a little light on. But Jesus said to the people, he said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Kind of seems different than everything else he talks about in Scripture, doesn't it? When he's talking peace and love, he is the Prince of Peace. But yet, it says that he came to bring a sword. So we got to examine his life to see when the sword came out, right? What is the sword? I came to bring a sword. Well, we can get a visual picture in Revelation, if you want to look at it. And that is in Revelation 1:16. We have to understand that in his life we never saw him pick up a physical sword, but all throughout his life he spoke. And what that did was cut, separated. Some injured. Just by his words, we know that some came to him, he looked at him and said, "Go sell everything," and followed. And said he went away sorrowful. The rich young ruler. And so he also warns in Matthew 26. Verses 51 and 52. Excuse me. And suddenly one of those, and this is later when Peter cuts the ear. And we talked about it last week. He said, suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword." Seems kind of conflicting. Go buy a sword. But if you choose to use it, it seems like if you want to live by your own protection, then more than likely you're going to die from protecting yourself. And so I would like to just look at Hebrews 4:12 and talk about that a little bit, because I think it gives us an idea of how the sword is supposed to work. If I can find it. in my Bible. I know. 2 nights, no sleep. You'll get there.
So do you think the 2 swords that they bought were 2 Bibles?
Well, I don't know, because they didn't go buy any. They hadn't left the upper room yet. They already had them. I'm sorry?
Two tented tubes in the upper room?
I'm just saying that as we read this, we see that they never left the upper room. The swords were there, and it was only the 11 and Jesus. So they already had them. I think there's something in it, but I'm going to start in verse 11. It tells us to let us therefore to be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes, to whom we must give account. So, and I have to say this because Jesus could have used a different term here if he wanted just to say, I want you to go sell everything and buy the Word of God. Well, we're at an advantage today. Back then, they couldn't. The Word of God was not available. It wasn't printed in massive print. They only had certain books, and they weren't floating around for everybody just to grab a hold of. We have to understand that they didn't have Bibles on their phones. They didn't have, I mean, a book back then is a scroll. They didn't even have binders and all that stuff yet. Today, how do you go to go get the Word of God? I mean, if they'd have had Genesis to Malachi, if at that point would have had it even all in writing in a place, they wouldn't, the 11 of them wouldn't have been able to carry it.
They had Jesus.
So, I understand that what I'm trying to say is Jesus asked them to do something and put them in a position to actually have to meditate and think about, why did he ask me to do it? What am I doing here? And what's going on here? So, but I think that if we can rest in this and go back and let's look back at this, I think the main point, the bigger point, is what he wants them to truly understand is when I sent you out, back in that, if you want to turn back to Luke. When I sent you out, without money bags, knapsack, sandal, did you lack anything? You see, when the Lord sends you out, resting completely on Him, and He gives you a mission. He wanted to go into the cities and preach the gospel, heal, and let people know the gospel. Here, He wants to bring them to a point, were you lacking anything? And before you go out of here today, the same thing is basically being, are you lacking anything that you need that the Lord's given you opportunity to walk in? To walk with Him? The answer should be nothing. Right? So He wants to bring them to a point when the Lord sends you out, remember, you're lacking no thing. Which means that I have all that I need that pertains to life and godliness in Him. And then he said, but now, take what you have and go. If he has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, a knapsack. See, before they weren't supposed to take any extra provisions, and they were going to get to watch and see God move his provision on them to take care of even their... That they would come to realize that everything they do in life I have to wait and rely on the Lord Himself. He said, if I go, I'm going to be able to go to a place. Now, times are different now. I can't go to a city and knock on a stranger's door and say, hey, can I come in? Right? Not too many of us would let someone in that we didn't know and take care of them. And it says, if you have peace, let your peace settle upon the place. If not, and you're not received, the shit, you know, those types of things are going on. So we live in a different culture. But back then, people were to receive you. I think of when I went to the Dominican, that everybody was always welcoming and kind of had that same thing where they would invite you in. And then you could talk and talk about Jesus all you wanted. Whether they chose to receive was different, but they still allowed you. They were gracious hosts. Not so much today. But even within that, he comes back and he says, I say to you, that which is written must still be accomplished in me. He was numbered with the transgressors, for these things concerning me have an end. And anybody, like, I found that that was weird for him to say that things concerning me have an end, because everything other than the fact that he's talking about the things concerning him have an end for this portion of his physical life. You know what I'm saying? Because there is no end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. Right? So there are certain things that are written that had to be fulfilled. That he fulfilled the Word of God and the law and all these things. So he's just pointing out that let these things happen. There's things about me that have to happen. I'm numbered with my transgressors. And so, and they'll have an end. Now, to me, if I'm walking with Jesus and he said, you know, we're going to be doing these things and at some, I have an end. So what does that mean? If there's an end, that means there's a time where they're going to be walking without him. Right? That's the main thing to be concerned about. Coming to a place where you're walking without Jesus. Now, he wasn't telling them that physically he had an end, but spiritually he has no end. And he's trying to get them to move them to a place where they can move past their eyes and walk by faith. Just like they had to when he sent them out. They had enough faith to believe when he sent them out two by two that he was going to take care of them when he wasn't walking with them. And he wants to bring us to the point, the same with the disciples, that we get to a place that I can trust, that as I go out, there's nothing I'm lacking, that I can trust completely and totally on him, that he is with me, and he will guide me, and he will speak his words through me. And so they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. So they're, forget this part about I have an end, but they're like, look, we've got swords. See, that it's a place where somewhere, like, I got something I can grab a hold of, and now I can be in control. I was able to do it. We see that he uses it wrongly. Peter, later, we're not getting there. I just wanted to talk about this a little bit. But Jesus said, it's enough. What were you lacking? Nothing. What do you have? It's enough. This is his message. I want you to see that with him, you are lacking nothing. And anything that you think you have that is from him or that he's talked to you about and told you to go after, whatever you have, it's enough. Because what's he say? Coming out, he went out to the Mount of Olives. See, he's trying to get his believers to understand, I lack nothing, and what I have is enough. Aren't we all formed and created in his image? That we've been knit in our mother's womb? And he knows everything about our lives, and it's already written. Can't we live in such a way that I can see that in and of myself there's no good thing, but I have Christ and I have everything. And he doesn't want me. He wants this physical body to move so his spirit, the spiritual body, can speak. So that he can speak through us to the world around us. And we realize we're not lacking anything because I have him. And the only thing I have that can get in the way is me acting on my own and getting in the way. You see, he's given me a feet, he's given me a mouth. Why? So that Paul says, I believe, therefore I speak. You see, he wants to bring back within you the trust, the reliance on him, that you know that you've been equipped with all that you need. But he didn't leave you as an orphan. He's given you his spirit. So that I don't have to rely on my own self. I don't have to rely on anyone here. You don't have to rely on anyone here. That you have that walking, intimate relationship with the Lord, that you see that you're not lacking and you have open door. He has an open door policy. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants us to live in a place where we understand that we're going out into a sick and dying world that hates him. We're told that we're sheep being led to the slaughter. That's, sheep don't usually bite, they just follow. And so, are we willing and yielded to lay down our lives, my physical flesh, and say, Lord, it's enough. Do with me as you will. I'm surrendered. I'm going to go and speak because I believe. And I believe you have the words of eternal life. I don't. But if I yet trust in him, take what he's given me. So, here's another one. Very simply, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. It's enough. What else do I need for people to find life in this earth and peace and joy and rest for their souls? Jesus loves me, this I know. His word tells me, and it's enough. I don't need any more than that. Because the Holy Spirit does the convicting and the drawing and everything else. If I know that I'm loved, then I can go and share that love. And it doesn't have to be Genesis to Revelation. It's just got to be Christ. All we have to do is give what we've been given, and that's a complete Jesus. And let Jesus do that work. And if this is taken away, he will remain. And it's going to be okay. Because it's enough. He is enough. That's why we keep our eyes fixed on him. Not my circumstances. Not my own ability. My own ability brought me to Christ saying, I can. You can. So I'm going to come to your sword and allow your sword to cut and cut through my heart to discern. Am I walking in the flesh? Or am I trusting in Jesus? That's areas that most of us can't tell. Do you know, the ligaments and sinews where they separate? That's what it's trying. It's so perfect that he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And I could be thinking one thing and be totally walking in the Spirit led by the Lord and look completely different than something that you might do in that same circumstance. Because he's created us uniquely and wonderfully made in his image. There's many aspects. There's a time of judgment when the sword comes out and cuts and wipes out. Jesus' words spoke when they came to arrest him. I'm he. The whole crowd fell down. I don't know if at the same time when they got back up, Peter cut him. Or did he try to do the work before him? It doesn't really say when you read all, you try to put this whole thing together. There's gaps and things that we have to trust in. But Jesus had the ability at any point in time just to speak. When he's talking before Pilate, yes, if my kingdom was of this world, the angels would come and fight. Even in Revelation, when Christ comes back, his armies are with him. What do they do? Huh? They watch his victory. he speaks forth his word, it's done. And that is enough. So like I said, any thoughts? That's all I have to share today, I think. And it's one of the other things in here, it comes out the first thing he says, pray that you don't enter temptation. You got something in your hand now, there's a temptation to use it. So it's very interesting, the wording. Somewhere in this time is John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. Before verse 38, or actually somewhere between 34 and 38 is John 14. So that's interesting. But that's all I wanted to share. Like I think that God's made us uniquely, and it's made me rethink my own stance on some things. But I'm not here to give somebody a thing. I can just share what the Lord shows me. The only difference between the sword and the word is the first S. A letter. So, I just thought it was interesting. When we look at it, we need to allow Jesus to be our protector, our provider, and our governor. And trust Him that all things do work together for the good, and that I can rely on Him. I don't understand it, but You are God. I don't like it, but You can give me peace. You can settle my heart and rest in You. And if I'm not rested, I need to come to You. I need to trust in You. I need to look to You. And it can be found in talking with others and all these other things. And it can be on your knees before His face saying, Lord, I need You. You're the only one that can meet me in this place. Everything else is taking something up in your own hands. And it can be dangerous and harmful to others. He is our resting place. He is my joy. He is my peace. I have nothing else but that. And when I can walk in that and rest in Him and not care about the fleshly circumstance and outcome, you can find rest for yourselves. And that's all I have.
It's after you talking, kind of just came to me. I hadn't thought about this in eons, but in 1995, I remember the year exactly because I just graduated from nursing, and I told this in the church that I was attending at the time. And my pastor knew, and all the people knew that I had just graduated, you know, after having all my kids and going back to school. And I said, I have a dream last night. I just started working in a psych hospital. I went right into psych. And then I said, I had this dream last night, and I was helping a man who was trying to commit suicide. This was my dream. And it was a scenario of how he was doing it, and I was the nurse on duty. This was my dream. And I had to talk this man out doing it, so to speak. And all the stuff I had learned in school, all the ways to, like, speak to a person to make them, to calm them.
De-escalate,
they call it. This is what I said to him. I said, come down. He could jump from some bridge or something. And I said, do you know that Jesus loves you? And of course, at that time, even then, you're not really supposed to talk about the Lord, you know, in your professional job. But that's nothing else mattered to me at that minute. But I said to him, you know, Jesus loves you. And it was like, just having you talk with anything, you know. I mean, really, that's what it is. That's the best everything, you know. And I can't remember if the man jumped down when he jumped. But I remember my pastor. I told him, really, that he's the one who told the church. Because I put him privately. But it meant so much to me. At that moment, you know, and I felt it was like, I'm not doing my job here. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what to say to this man, but that was all I needed to say to him.
That was enough.
And, you know, yeah, that was more than enough.
That was enough. Yes, that's it. And in that we read 37, it says, for I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished
A neat testimony. Saturday I couldn't sleep, so I was up and the Lord was giving me, sharing this bit with me, and I finally fell asleep, and then I got up in the morning and then he said, I got to show you this study the Lord gave me. And if you look at her piece of paper, it has the same exact verses the Lord gave me the night before. And so it was just really sweet. We hadn't really talked about it other than mentioning it last Sunday, but it was just like, I just looked at him like, yeah, that's it. Is it this verse? And yep. And she wrote them out. I just wrote the verses. But it was just really neat that the Holy Spirit allowed these verses to come together and just kind of confirm, at least share with me that he's moving in my heart, maybe the same as in others. And like, I just thought that was neat. The Lord is able to speak to you in different ways. One can't sleep and one gets up early and rises. And so, and he still meets you in the same place. And in the exact same place. So it's kind of funny. So, not funny. It's just sweet. And that even more so, know that he's enough. And that we're not lacking. And that he will lead you. And he will guide you into all truth. And bring you unto himself. So that as you walk, I'm not going to perform. He wants to live. I got to yield and get out of the way so he can do the work that he wants to do. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I think the reason of it is what he tells you to sell for five sword. He tells him to take an asset, tells him to take a bag, get my bag, and it's in. Then he doesn't tell him to sell it. Tells himself it's the garment. And what's a garment for? Back then it was protection. The elements, the things. He's telling him to buy a sword. What's a sword for? So what would you give up for, to protect yourself? The sword, the garment. What is your protection? And as I look, like I said, I don't think people different from most. I just look at it, he's telling them, what's your protection? Sword, garment, or city?
Yeah, because if they sold their garment, wouldn't they be naked?
Yeah.
And they'd be out of sight?
Exactly.
That'd have scared them, wouldn't it?
The second scripture right now, right here, he is the Lord.
Yes.
He is the garment. He is the covering. He is the righteousness. So, really, all of them. They're
all there,
you know, he is all of those things. So.
Like the pearls.
Yes.
A great pearl, yeah. Yep. Yeah, he works all these things together from different areas to meet you at the same place. It's just sweet. And so that as we go out of here, we know that maybe you came in here empty. And you need to realize you've never lacked anything. But now with what you walk out of here with, it's enough. So because I'm hoping you walk out with Jesus, and that He is enough. And it's not always a pleasant thing. I don't think going to the slaughter's a lot of fun. But He will provide and take care of you in His way, and it's right in His sight. Anything else? Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank You, Lord, that Lord, we do come to Your Word, Lord, and we do lack understanding. And even if this isn't completely all what You have for us, we know that as we come to You, we can receive more. And that You will lead us and guide us. But Lord, we do know that we are not lacking any good thing. And the way that You've created us and knitted us in our mother's womb and uniquely formed us, it's enough. And we thank You, Lord, because You're more than enough. And so, Lord, help us to bring to remembrance as we go, Lord, that we would speak forth the Word of God. Lord, allow Your Spirit to do the convicting, the drawing, and the saving of souls, even our own, as we struggle through doubts. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.